It's time for Searchlight with Dr. Roger Haber. In this show, you can ask questions about the Bible, talk about spiritual concerns, and maybe have a laugh or two as well. Call in now, 508-822-1106. Good morning, child of God. It is a beautiful morning here in beautiful downtown Taunton, Massachusetts. It is Tuesday, June the 26th, 2018. Of course, if it's not June the 26th, it means you're listening to a rerun. It means either I'm out of town, I'm working somewhere, or perhaps I'm with Jesus. But right now, if it's Tuesday, June the 26th, you are with me. And we've got a special show today. I mentioned it yesterday, if you were with me. If you are listening on 1530 AM WVBF, we're streaming online at hometowntalkradio.com. We have the Audio Now number. You can call from any phone in the world. I've done this in Ireland, in Israel, in Germany, in France. You can call 712-832-7094. A free call. And you can listen to WVBF on the phone. Of course, I am also live streaming on the Facebook, and you can see why I have a radio face. So today's program, I have a special guest I'll introduce in a moment. We're going to be talking about suicide prevention. Some of you remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned at the tragedy of Anthony Bourdain. My son Tim worked with Anthony Bourdain. It was his birthday. It would have been his birthday yesterday. It would have been his 62nd birthday yesterday. And suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I have a feeling it has affected all of us listening this morning. I know it's affected my family. It's affected my wife's family. As a pastor, I've seen it, unfortunately, too many times myself. So if you know someone who needs to hear this broadcast today, give them a call. Send them a text. Tell them to tune in either to 1530 AM or hometowntalkradio.com, or they can find me, Roger Haber, on Facebook for the live stream, or they can call the Audio Now number at 712-832-7094. Perhaps this might be the most important broadcast I've done in my 10 years here on WVBF 1530 AM. First of all, I want to thank the person who keeps me on the air. He doesn't want to get any credit for it, but I thank him for paying for the airtime so that I can join you most Mondays and Tuesdays. Let me start with today's verse of the day, and then I'll introduce my friend, my guest this morning. Today's verse of the day comes from James chapter 1, verse 5. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." And certainly on this topic today, I didn't pick the verse of the day, just comes up on my phone. What a timely verse when we're dealing with a subject like this, that we need wisdom from God. So you can call in anytime during the program, 508-822-1106. And you know what? You might want to call in anonymously today. I won't ask you for your name unless you volunteer it. This is a serious subject. Maybe suicide has touched your family. Maybe even you yourself have contemplated that. So when you call in, I'm not going to ask you for your name, even if I recognize your voice from some of you call in quite a bit. We'll make this anonymous calls. And if you say, hey, this is Joe or this is Susie, you know, I'll leave that up to you. I'm not going to ask anybody for their name today. So I'm trying something on the Facebook with the switcher here. See if I can introduce my guest. We'll see if this works. I got to switch screens here. Hopefully you can see him now. My across from me here is Ralph Plumley. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning.
Yeah, let me see if I can hear you there. Let me turn your mic on. That'll help. Good morning. I'll try that again. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning again.
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah, Ralph, we've been friends for a few years.
A few years.
You have been a grief counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You have worked in hospice care.
Yes.
And both of us work for a ministry I've talked about from time to time, Marketplace Chaplains.
That's right.
And you're in town because you're doing a workshop for one of our companies on suicide prevention right after this program today.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Help help our guests to get to know you a little bit, and then we'll get into this. Again, if any of you want to call in, the number is 508-822-1106, 508-822-1106. We're going to keep it anonymous today because this is a sensitive subject, isn't it, Ralph?
Yes, it is. Yes,
so,
it is.
So tell us about yourself, and we'll keep moving here.
Well, thank you, Roger. Appreciate the invitation to join you today and join your listeners. As you said, I have a history in grief counseling. I've worked for a funeral home in grief counseling for 20 years. I work for a hospice organization and I'm focused on grief counseling, grief education, staff care, and volunteer, overseeing the volunteer department there, and currently work with Marketplace Chaplains, as you noted. I was also a hospital chaplain at two different medical centers, and one in Dallas, one in near Philadelphia.
Yeah, so quite a bit of experience here. So when we think of suicide, of course it's been in the news recently with the designer from New York, I mentioned Anthony Bourdain. My friend is just texting me that my camera is only showing me, so this switcher evidently isn't working, so we won't worry about it here. But we'll have to have you come around and get in front of the camera so people see what you look like here. We'll have to figure that out, technology. So this has become, you know, every time a celebrity, I mean, I remember even when I was a kid, it was Freddie Prinze.
Yeah,
and you know, Janis Joplin, you know, some of the people with drug overdoses. I don't know if that's technically a suicide, but
accidental suicide,
yeah, accidental. But from the statistics you sent me, there are almost 45,000 people who die of suicide every year in the United States.
That's the current statistic.
That's like an epidemic,
and it grows every year. 10 years ago, when I started diving into the subject, the number was around 37,000.
Wow.
And so in 10 years, it's grown that much. Every year, it increases.
So we hear about the Anthony Bourdains. We hear about the, I forget the name of the woman from New York, the designer, fashion designer.
I know who you mean. I remember reading about.
But there's a lot more people that we never hear about, right?
That's right.
So
that's right.
Tell us what we're missing here when we look into this topic.
Well, as you said, close to 45,000 people a year in the U.S.
Yeah, that's just the U.S.
will die by suicide. That's on average one person every 12 seconds. So by the time, you know, from the time this program started, someone statistically somewhere in the U.S. has died by suicide. It's the equivalent, Roger, of 123 people every day.
Wow.
And you know, imagine, you know, if we had a plane crash today with 123 passengers and all of them died as a result. You know, it would be big news.
It would be all over the news.
But imagine the same thing happening tomorrow with another plane, 123 people.
Wow.
And every day, day after day after day after day, how long would it take for America to see an uprising of concerned citizens, of like, we have to do something. What's being done to prevent this? And it's really a silent killer. It's silent because we only hear about the celebrities.
Yeah.
And we don't hear about everybody else, and we don't want to talk about it. Our society doesn't want to talk about death, and especially not suicide.
Yeah. I'm reading here, Ralph, that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in our country.
Yes.
10th leading cause of death.
That's right.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Huge.
What should we be looking for? And again, I just want to remind listeners, if you have a question or a comment, like I said, I think this hits everybody. So if you want to call in, maybe it's hit your family. Maybe it's hit a friend, a coworker. Give us a call, 508-822-1106, and you can chime in. We won't ask your name again. We'll keep it anonymous. But if you'd like to join us, that would be we would welcome that. So what kinds of things are we looking for? You know, if we have a child or a parent or a friend or a spouse, what should we be looking for, Ralph?
Well, there's several things. There are if someone has had a recent personal loss of some kind. Mm-hmm. They may be heightened to the possibility of suicidal thoughts. Terminal disease, terminal diagnosis, maybe multiple health issues happening. Like I said, the death of a significant individual in their life, a spouse, a child especially, a parent perhaps. Someone loses their job or has extended job-related problems or issues, legal issues, financial difficulties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Any major crisis like that can be a trigger. And there are some signs that people may show. There are, first of all, some actions that you may observe someone doing. They may be just out of the blue starting to give away prized possessions, things that have meant everything to them.
Yeah.
Starting to give them away to those, to their family or friends. They may be making some final arrangements for themselves. In and of itself, that's not a bad thing to do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that someone's thinking about suicide, but it does give cause to ask a question.
Yeah, why are you doing this now?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Communication, anyway.
Absolutely.
Needs to happen.
If you notice someone is suddenly withdrawing from family, friends, work, school, loss of interest in some pleasurable activities that they've always enjoyed doing, but now they have stopped or don't want to anymore, increase in alcohol or drug use, and any extreme behavior change. If someone is normally a cranky person and all of a sudden they're just happy and gleeful, that can bring some cause of concern.
Yeah, that's a surprise to hear
it
that.
It is. Because so many times, if somebody's always cranky, someone's always a grouch, and all of a sudden they're cheerful, why are they so cheerful?
Maybe they've determined, I'm done with this.
They have a plan.
The end is in sight. My suffering and pain is soon going to be over.
That's right.
Yeah, wow.
We also often think of it the other way around. If someone's usually happy and all of a sudden they're gloomy, you know, obviously that could be a sign of a concern. But they may express some feelings. They may express that, you know, feeling of depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Depression is the leading cause for suicide. 97% of those who die by suicide either have a history with depression or alcohol abuse, drug abuse.
Wow.
And, of course, depression is often undiagnosed and untreated. So someone says that they're depressed. A couple of questions come to mind. One is, have you been diagnosed by a psychologist or psychiatrist,
a
medical doctor?
Right.
Second, have you been prescribed medication?
Yeah, all these commercials you see about medication, especially to some of them, even on antidepressants, it says one of the side effects I see on like commercials every day, thoughts of suicide.
That's right.
So
It's
something to be taken seriously.
Very serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if someone has been prescribed medication, the next question would be, are you taking it?
Yep.
Because so often people will start to take their medication, they'll start to feel better, and then say, I don't need this anymore, and stop taking it. And that's
could be and if you stop some of those medications, that could be a big drop that would even compound the side effects.
That's exactly
because
right.
Medication, some of these medications are designed to have a cumulative effect. And even a doctor will tell you, if you stop medication, you have to gradually wean off of that. So imagine that has an effect on the suicide rate as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every person that I've met with in the last 15 years who's dealing with a significant loss, one of the first questions I would ask them is, what medications are you taking? Because I just want to know, are they taking heart medication? Are they taking kidney medication? Or primarily, are they taking medication for depression?
Yeah, one of the statistics you gave is there are more than 24 million people suffering from depression.
That's exactly right.
And so
in the U.S.
In the U.S., just in the U.S. So, and I know, like, I've been to Belarus. Sometimes in these former communist countries, the despair is even so intense that that suicide is a leading cause of death in places all over the world. But in the U.S., this is hitting us very hard. And those are just the people we know about.
That's right.
When we talk about 123 suicides that are going to happen today, add the attempts as well, right?
That's right.
Do you have a statistic? How many attempts are there?
I don't know exactly.
I don't even know how many
you can
measure that. Yeah.
I do know that women have stated that they have attempted suicide a little slightly more than men have.
And, must be married women.
But probably so.
I'm just kidding.
But men, the suicide rate among men is 3.5 times higher than that of women. And so what we glean from that is that men are more successful when they attempt.
One of our listeners just texted me, and I'm glad he did. Thank you for that. And it was just in the news. I don't know if it's in the news where you were, but just last week, this past weekend, an 11-year-old girl bullied by classmates committed suicide. So this bullying problem also has a link to suicide. These kids if you've got a child in school or a grandchild in school, this bullying is not just mean kids like when I was school, mean kids.
That's right.
But there are children we hear about in the news that are committing suicide because of bullying. Thank you for asking me to mention that, listener. And social media.
Mm-hmm.
Social media between Facebook and Snapchat, there are all kinds of tools where people can bully. In Taunton here, in Taunton, Massachusetts, right where we are, maybe one of our callers can give me the details. There was a young man who was talking about suicide, and his friend said, go ahead and do it.
Mm.
And she was put on trial for murder here in Taunton, right here.
That wasn't
street,
that long ago.
No, a year or so ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And suicide among teenagers and children is almost a subject in and of itself. The reasons that that they contemplate and follow through with suicide are as long as your arm. And all of us adults, if we can think back far enough, we can remember when we were in junior high or high school, and we tend to think of the fun things that we did, but we forget how difficult those times are for teenagers, especially. And they're looking for their identity. They're looking for acceptance among all of their peers, and any slight rejection like that, asking someone out on a date and being rejected, losing a game at sports, and it's any kind of loss like that can be a trigger to some teens. So it's important for parents and adults who work with teenagers just to have an open conversation, open relationship where fosters an open communications back and forth. Being honest, being real with junior high and teenagers is so important just to maintain a real vibrant relationship where maybe they'll talk to you about things that are upsetting
you. And when you see a child that's stuck in his or her room and won't talk, that's got to be a red flag.
Yeah.
That's especially if you see some of those other behavioral changes, you know, giving away stuff or you know, drastic mood changes.
That's right. Yeah. I had a call as a grief counselor from a woman who was concerned about her son. She had two sons, both middle school, elementary, middle school age. And she was concerned about one who was crying all the time and always asking about her grandfather, his grandfather who had died, and always wanted to talk about him, but always crying and always upset. And she was, I'm concerned about what to do for him. And I suggested, you know, that she listen and let him get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked her about her other son. She goes, oh, I'm not concerned about him. I said, why is that? She goes, well, he's really quiet. He doesn't talk about it. He doesn't cry. In fact, I haven't seen him cry about it. And he just kind of stays in his room. And I tell you, those red flags were going up in my mind.
Mm-hmm,
and I suggested to her that he's the one that I am more concerned about.
Yeah.
Because he's keeping it to himself.
Internalizing
it.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
And isolation is a big problem.
Yeah. By the way, listeners, the number to call if you have a comment or a question, I'm getting some thumbs up on the Facebook. Sorry you only see my face. I tried to switch your camera here, but it didn't work. I'll have to experiment. I'm not as techie and geeky as I thought I was.
No complaints here.
No. You don't have a radio face. I'm the one with the radio face. But if you want to comment on this, maybe this has touched you. Again, we'll keep it anonymous. The number is 508-822-1106. Remember, if you're watching on Facebook, if you put a comment in the Facebook, everybody can see that. So if you want to comment anonymously, just use the messenger, not the one on the feed, because then that's not private. But we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. But I'm being joined this morning by my friend, colleague in ministry, Ralph Plumley, flew all the way up from Delaware to be with us. Well, to be with you and me, but also a company that we're going to be sharing some of this. And then our chaplains are going to be meeting with us today as well up here. But if you want to be part of the program, give us a call at 508-822-1106. I have a feeling that just about everybody listening this morning, suicide is hit in some way or another.
Absolutely.
Maybe you've thought of it. Maybe someone in your family has taken this drastic act, maybe attempting. Those 40, almost 45,000 suicides, those are people that actually committed suicide, not the accidental ones with drug overdoses. Doesn't
right.
include that, doesn't include attempts. But I wonder, you know, when we hear about the Anthony Bourdains, I can't remember the name of that fashion, Robin Williams,
mm-hmm.
a few years ago. That brought the exposure
mm-hmm.
up again. But as you were saying, Ralph, 123 people every day.
That's right.
123 people are going to die today.
In the U.S. alone.
In the U.S. alone because of suicide. And so I can't imagine that everybody listening this morning hasn't been affected by it. But we'll talk more in the second half of the show of some other ways. Let me give this number right now, and we'll give it a couple times through. There's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline.
Yes.
And the number is 1-800-273-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. TALK is 82, I'm looking on the phone dial here, 8255. 8255. That's the suicide prevention hotline.
That's a 24-hour hotline that is manned by trained counselors.
Yeah. One. Yeah.
To answer the phone for anyone who may be having thoughts of suicide.
Or you can also, for those of you younger folks listening, you can also text the word TALK to 741-741. You can text TALK to 741-741, and someone from the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline will get back to you. So, Ralph, how did this become a subject that you were interested in?
Well, I'd be happy to answer that question. I was talking with a woman. I was invited to talk to a woman who was grieving the loss of her her parents. Both parents had died within 6 months of each other, and she had been the primary caregiver in her home for both of her parents. And during the course of our conversation, she told me outright that she's going to kill herself.
Wow.
She's made plans for her cats. She's made plans with every detail of her life, and there's nothing I could do or say that would stop her.
Wow.
And I could tell you more about that conversation, but I was like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know what to say.
Wow.
I didn't know what not to say. And when I left her home that afternoon, I called a colleague of mine who I knew was familiar with grief counseling for suicide prevention, and asked her some pointed questions. And that began my my personal study and interest in suicide prevention.
Okay. Yeah, but thank you, Johnny. Yeah, the designer who committed suicide on June 5th, her name was Kate Spade. And Mikayla, you'd be interested in knowing this because our Veterans Affairs program is up next. One of my listeners wanted us to mention the number of veterans that commit suicide.
It's huge.
I think it's 23 every day. I think that's the statistic I remember. Let me put your mic on there, Mikayla. Mikayla, this is Ralph. Ralph, Mikayla.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Mikayla is the Veterans Affairs Office for Officer for Raynham, right?
Raynham,
Massachusetts, next over. Yeah.
So on average, they say that there is about 22 veterans a day who are taking their own lives, and out of those veterans who take their own lives, the majority of them don't reach out.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of them feel like they don't want to talk about things, that they suppress it. And not only when a veteran takes their own life does it affect his immediate family, it also affects his brothers and sisters in arms.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because it's a close-knit group.
Because it's a very close-knit
group. It's a brotherhood.
And we had, last year, I had a Rainham resident who was 23 years old who took his own life, and I have actually become very close to his family now.
Wow.
But there are several different military organizations that are geared, I shouldn't say military, but nonprofit organizations that are geared towards veterans, suicide and talking about it. We have 22 Kill, which is a national nonprofit organization that was founded in Texas. And we have a local chapter here, 22 Kill Boston, and they're actually doing different events at the Lafayette Club coming up in September.
Wow.
And then we have the Irrelevant Warriors, who we do the Silkies hike that's coming up in August.
Okay.
And it's all veterans who, you're only allowed to be a vet. The only people to participate are veterans and or active duty or reservists in this hike.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk and we talk, and we're actually walking the walk, and we're talking the talk together.
Yeah. That's good to hear, Mikayla, because, you know, it's a shame that this only gets exposure when a celebrity.
Right.
Because like you were saying, you know, 22 veterans every day, 123 people every day.
And
every
we
day.
Also have to include in that number is first responders, firefighters, police officers, EMTs, because of the fact that the stuff that they
have to see every day
to on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that we try to talk to and get the word out is, if you're experiencing something like that and you are a first responder or you are a military person, talk it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't take it home with you, because the more you take it home, the more you compartmentalize.
That's right. It festers.
And it just keeps building.
Cancer in yours. Yeah, I was a police chaplain in Illinois, and we had to have that critical incident training. I'm glad you brought that up, because there are firefighters out there, police officers, and they see ugly things.
Healthcare workers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrific things on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. 508-822-1106, number to call. We're going to take a short break here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to hear today's edition of A Word With You with Ron Hutchcraft, and then I'll be back with Ralph Plumlee. Mikayla, you're welcome to join us as well. I know you got to prep for your show, too, but this is a serious, you know, like Ralph said, if a plane with 123 people went down today, it would be all over the news. People would be responding to help. But this quiet, thing only comes up when there's an Anthony Bourdain, when there's a Kate Spade, when there's a Robin Williams. But it's happening to people we love and care for every single day.
On a daily basis.
Every single day. All right. All right. I'll be right back. Listen now to a word with you with Ron Hutchcraft, and then we'll be right back. All right? Don't leave me, okay? Please don't leave me.
Used to be a lot simpler, you know, helping your kids with their homework. First of all, most of us have forgotten more than we remember from school anyway. Second of all, they're studying things we probably have no clue about. And they're learning things a lot sooner than we did. So here comes Junior looking for answers. You can't just tell him you don't know. I mean, you're a parent. You're supposed to know everything, right? So you find some diversion. You have a sudden coughing seizure, a call you forgot to make. You don't need to know all the answers. All you need is to be able to Google things. You may not have the answers, but, well, you have the source of the answers. I'm Ron Hutchcraft, and I want to have a word with you today about what to say when you don't have the answer. There are a lot of spiritually seeking people who want some answers. And when someone tells them about the difference that Jesus Christ can make in their lives, they have questions. Look, you may be one of those seekers, and you know Jesus has to be a serious option for anyone with an honestly seeking heart, but you do need some answers. Or maybe you're someone who belongs to Jesus. You want people you care about to experience this love and this power and this peace you have, but you're afraid of their questions. Maybe you've been thrown by their questions. You know Jesus, you know what he can do, but you don't know the answers to their questions. But that's not a reason to retreat. Look, like a parent going online to find the answers that he doesn't have, you may not know the answers, but you have the source of the answers. The Bible says of Jesus, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. My job isn't to have all the answers. It's to point people to the one who does have all the answers, who in fact is all the answers. The great Apostle Paul was a scholar trained in the finest education of his day, a writer who could craft a case that it was hard to refute. But in our word for today from the Word of God, this man who knew a lot of answers tells us all we really need to know. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, for all that he knew, he just kept pointing people to Jesus and to the cross where he died for them. If you're a seeker, I just want to take you to that cross where Jesus died for you. That's what you have to decide about. If you're a sharer of what Jesus did, I just want to take you to that cross where Jesus died for the person you're talking to. That's what you have to tell them about. I appreciated what Mel Gibson did in The Passion of the Christ. I mean, he stripped away 2,000 years of Christianity and took us back to what it's all about. Before there were any creeds, any churches, any Christians, really, it was just the Son of God pouring out his life on a cross for you. I don't have all the answers for the poverty and suffering in the world, but I have a Savior who entered into that suffering when he came here, who lived as a poor man, a homeless man, who died to defeat the ultimate generator of human suffering, human sin. It's all about Jesus. I don't have all the answers about why someone you love died. I only know that God knows the feeling. He watched his son murdered on a cross. It's all about Jesus. I can't explain many of the hypocrites and the horrible things that have been done in Christ's name, but I know Jesus said, follow me, not follow my followers. It's all about Jesus. That's why you can dare to tell people about him, even if there are answers you don't know, because it's all about pointing them to Jesus. And that's why I challenge you to end your long search for meaning and for God by finally going to Jesus, who died for you, who rose from the dead to give you life that would never end. It's all about Jesus, and that's what Judgment Day will be all about, what you did with Jesus. Look, if you're ready to seriously begin this relationship with Jesus, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Go to our website and find out how you can be sure you belong to him, anewstory.com. We'll never have all the answers. We can have the one who does, who is the answer. So the most important choice in your life comes down to four words. It's all about Jesus.
A Word With You is a feature of Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thank you, Ron Hutchcraft, for that good word with you. Ron used to attend my church in Illinois because his son-in-law and his son were our worship leaders there for a while. So thank you for that good word, Ron. 508-822-1106 is the number to call. Before we get back to the subject, yesterday I promised I will be gave away a copy of my latest book, A Great Cloud of Witnesses. Matter of fact, if you're discouraged or depressed, the Bible says if you're a follower of Jesus, there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on as you run the race. So I'm going to give a copy of this away right now. I'm going to give the first person who calls. I'm not going to wait because I want to get back to the subject. So I'm not going to take the third caller or the fifth caller or the 29th caller. The first person who calls right now, 508-822-1106, I will give you a copy of this book. If you're in the area, you could come pick it up here at the studio. If not, if you're listening from Pennsylvania or Colorado or Florida or you name it, I'll mail it to you. And as a matter of fact, if you're in Hawaii, if you pay my airfare, I'll come and deliver the book to you personally and there. But if you'd like a copy of this latest book, just out around Memorial Day. Just got the paperbacks that for me. It's on Kindle, too, by the way, on Amazon.com. But if you'd like a copy of it, give me a call right now, 508-822-1106, and I'll give a copy of that book to you, and would love to do that. So if the phone doesn't ring, I'll give a copy to Ralph. 508-822-1106. Yeah, we're talking about suicide prevention. Let me turn your mic back on, Ralph, here. So what do we say to someone when they start either exhibiting these behaviors or maybe even they say, hey, I'm going to end it all? What do we do? What do we do?
Well, the first thing to think about are things that we don't do.
Okay.
Don't be judgmental.
Okay. Always a good plan.
Don't act surprised.
Okay. Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Don't ask or don't tell them, well, you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
What you want to do is you want them to talk about it. And in order to make help them to talk about it, you don't want to put up any walls. And by saying you shouldn't feel that way, a wall goes up.
Yeah, you're not going to listen to me.
Conversation over.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. And here's one for you. Don't try to cheer them up. Don't try to make them feel better.
Yeah.
You want to listen.
Yeah.
Listen. Listen to them.
Yeah. Let's take a call and then we'll come back to that. Good morning. Oops, lost you. If you were trying to get in, call again. It was probably tax collector. No, I'm just. If you were trying to call in, I don't know what happened. 508-822-1106. Yeah, don't make light of it. Don't make light of it. No, you shouldn't think that way. You shouldn't feel that
way.
That's
right. But the first thing you should do, as soon as you have a glimpse, a hint, that someone might be thinking about suicide based on what they're doing or based on what they're telling you, is to ask them, hey, you know, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about suicide?
Yeah.
And use the word suicide. Don't say, are you thinking of harming yourself? Because that's too broad. That's not clear. It's too broad of a question. You know, they could be thinking of, you know, are you thinking of hurting yourself? Or you're thinking, never say, you're not thinking about doing something stupid, are you? You know, again, that shuts it down and they won't open up to that.
Right.
'Cause who's going to admit to doing something stupid?
Right.
Just ask point blank, are you thinking about suicide? And use the word suicide,
mm-hmm.
because it is clear, it's direct. Brings you into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask a clear and open, direct question, you're more likely to receive a clear and direct answer.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, by using the word suicide, you're communicating to them that you're comfortable in talking about it. That if you can say it like that, then you're comfortable in hearing and listening
to them. You've basically said, I'm here for you now.
That's correct.
I'm willing to listen to to you. So what happens next? The person says, yes, Ralph, I'm thinking about suicide.
Well, first of all, you take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. Nobody will tell you yes if they're not. And the best thing to do is ask them, why?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
You want to keep the person talking, it sounds like.
Well, not just talking, but you want to get in that foxhole with them.
Yeah.
You want to be able to allow them to express to you what's going on inside their head and inside their heart.
Okay.
And so, first of all, you tell them, I'm here for you.
Okay.
I want to help you, and I want to support you. And can you tell me, you know, why are you thinking about suicide?
Mm-hmm.
And they may have start telling you about things that they've already started to tell you in the conversation, but just listen. And listen by what we refer to as active listening skills, utilizing basically three different skills.
Mm-hmm.
One is mirroring, where you repeat verbatim what the person just said to you.
Okay.
So they say, I'm having some financial problems. Say, oh, you're having some financial problems.
Mm-hmm. I've been through an awful divorce.
Oh, so you've been through an awful divorce.
My kids won't talk to me anymore.
Your kids aren't talking to you anymore.
So that's
repeat
it right back.
Think of it as a tennis match. Someone says something to you and they hit the ball to you. And the object of tennis is to hit the ball back fairly, so it's with, you know, a fair ball on the other person's court.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do. We want to hit the ball back to them so that now they'll hit it back to us. We want to explore these reasons that they may be having. And so by repeating verbatim what they've already said to you, then it communicates to them that you're listening.
Right.
That you're interested and you want to hear more.
Right.
Another skill, another technique is paraphrasing, saying the same thing they said to you.
In different words.
But in different words.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so my kids won't talk to me anymore.
So they haven't been talking or communicating with you in any way, huh?
Yeah. Went through this painful divorce.
It's hard for the separation. That's really hard.
Yeah. I was in Iraq, and those images of the awful things I experienced, I can't get out of my mind.
Yeah, that video just doesn't stop playing, does it?
Okay.
And so you paraphrase and hit the ball back into their court. Again, remember, don't argue with them. Don't act surprised. Don't try to make them cheer up. What you want to do is try to get them to talk more about it. Really, the overall goal is to help them lay out on the table all the reasons that they're thinking about suicide. Yeah.
They've got to excrete that poison in their heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And the third technique of active listening that I utilize is asking clarifying questions.
Okay. So I've gone through this painful divorce.
So what is that like for you?
Okay. I'm going to lose my home. I'm losing my home and my family all at the same time.
Oh my gosh! So your home is at jeopardy. Are you behind? I'm guessing you're behind on your mm-hmm. mortgage okay. payment.
So you're keeping the person talking. The pain is coming from underneath out to the surface.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And you want to, you know, because when someone says something, often we may think of a question. You know, so ask the question, a clarifying question. How long has that been going on? You know, tell me what a good question is, if you can't think of any other, is what is that like for you?
Mm-hmm. So open-ended questions to keep the communication going.
That's exactly right. And so the idea is that when you have explored all the aspects of this one particular reason that they're telling you that they're looking to go to suicide, then ask the next question, which would be, well, is there anything else you'd like to tell me about those financial issues that you've been saying? And then if they say no, then, well, in addition to the financial issues that you're facing, what's another reason that you're thinking about suicide? Don't ask them if there's another reason. because there always is.
Mm-hmm.
All my experience tells me that there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 reasons.
Yeah, it's a mountain of pain. It's a mountain of pain, a pile of pain.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so try to explore each one.
Wow.
Now, if someone is threatening suicide at the very moment,
yeah,
you need to call 911.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question. So you've heard these answers. You don't just walk away and go, okay, well, thanks for sharing with me.
That's right.
What happens? So if someone's in immediate danger, if someone says, I've got the gun to my head right now.
Yeah. You need to call 911.
Yeah.
And try to get professionals involved and someone that can, individuals involved that can give them the support and the help that they need.
And by the way, my friends, I mentioned as a pastor, this has come up to me too many times. Don't think just because you're a follower of Jesus that this won't affect you.
That's exactly
I have a lot of Christians listening. In my church in Illinois, I hadn't even unpacked yet, and a family from the church came home and found their 16-year-old son hanging in the basement.
That's right. Several families that I've known from church.
Yeah, one of my elders. Would have never expected it. They found him with a hose from the tailpipe into his car.
And I was just informed this morning of the wife of a pastor that has died by suicide.
Yeah. And I've heard pastors, too, because it's just like firefighters, we deal
That's
with
right.
a lot of other people's pain, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. Michaela.
So one of the things that is very unique to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is we have the SAVE team, which is a statewide advocacy program for veterans.
Excellent.
Veterans Empowerment. And they actually deploy military, like the SAVE team, which are trained in suicide prevention whatnot, to the areas. So there's a number that we can call. If it's during off hours, there's a hotline number that you can call. And the emergency number is 617-571-7587. And that person, it's the emergency crisis line to the Mass SAVE team, and they will answer it and they will
That's
get
awesome.
Somebody out to you. And then during normal working hours, somebody can call 617-210-5743, and that goes to the SAVE team admin person, and he helps to coordinate and get it out.
Now, is that just for veterans or is that for anyone?
Veterans and or their families.
Okay, so this would be for vets and families.
Yes.
Just so I want to get that down as another resource here.
And the SAVE team works wonders. I mean, and a lot of times you have that person who's like, when you were asking about the whole saying the Iraq thing, they want to talk to somebody who's been there, who knows what you're experiencing.
That's right.
Because
that camaraderie that exists between military people, we talked about the brotherhood, the sisterhood is there.
Yeah. I know, like, I've told people I have not been in combat, but I empathize with what you're going through.
But you being a Marine would probably more likely talk to you than they would talk to me.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me take a call here. Good morning. You're on Searchlight. Welcome.
Hello. This is help for anyone who needs additional.
Thank you.
They will not hang up on you when you call the suicide hotline. By the way, that number again is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. And for veterans and their families in Massachusetts.
Veterans can call that same 800 number and press number 1 for veterans.
Okay. Mm. Didn't know that. Okay. So if you're a veteran, you can call the 1-800-273-TALK-8255. Press number 1 for veterans. And someone that could more easily identify with what you're going through as a veteran.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, if someone's in immediate danger, they've got the gun to their head, they're going to put their car in the garage and close the door and sit in it, we call 911.
That's right.
What if it's not an immediate thing? Because we only have about 7 minutes left. So
you want to find out all of their reasons. And then when you ask them, in addition to this and this and this and this and this, why else are you thinking about suicide? And they say nothing else. Then what you want to do is to turn around those reasons to die into reasons to live. So they say, you can say something like, well, John, when you were telling me about your financial issues, you said that it upsets you because you want to be a good provider for your family, and you feel bad because you haven't been able to like you would like to. Would it be okay if I asked you a question? Yes. Well, would you say that on the one hand, not being able to provide for your family like you would want to is a reason to die, but on the other hand, the desire to provide for your family in the way that you mm-hmm. would like to, would you say that that would be a reason to live?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they would say yes. And so then go on to the next one. And when you were talking about your failed marriage, you know, that your wife is leaving you because of everything, you told me that you feel particularly bad because you had a great relationship with your wife and you want to have a good relationship with her, but that hasn't been happening. Would you say that on the one hand, as your relationship with your wife has deteriorated some, that that's a reason to die? However, on the other hand, is it possible that you still have a desire to be have a relationship like that with your wife, like you used to have?
Well, she's remarried. Remarried, Ralph. There's no hope.
That could happen.
That could happen. Yeah. So what you want to do, you want to turn the... Actually, you want to open their view to all of their reasons to die.
That there's alternatives.
Well, that there's also within those reasons, there is a reason to live.
Okay.
And what that does, you know, if someone tells you they're thinking about suicide, they have both feet on the train.
Yeah.
Okay, and the train is getting ready to leave the station.
Right.
By helping them to realize that, yes, they do still have reasons to live, you're helping them to take one of those feet and put it on the platform. And so you're not arguing with them. You're
right.
Not trying to take away the reasons to die. You're just introducing to them that reminding them.
There's other considerations that they need to focus on.
Well, that they do actually have reasons to live.
Yeah. So let me make it. Let's try and make it as practical as we can then.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a person in immediate danger. You're not expecting that they're going to, you know, pull the trigger right now. You've given them these reasons. You've listened. You've not been judgmental. You've reflected back through your active listening. You're about to go your separate way. I'm assuming there's some follow-up you need to do.
Well, what we want to do is get them linked to professionals, organizations, individuals.
So you're going to ask
who
them
can help them.
You can ask them, can I help you get to someone that can help you with this?
That's correct. You know,
I have to ask permission, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah. Well,
unless they're in immediate danger, you don't ask permission. Is it okay if I call 911?
Well, actually, don't even ask them for permission. Sort of kind of give them a suggestion, like, let's get you help.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with you.
And we want to inform people in their lives, a family member or a friend. And if you're, preferably someone who can come right now and be with them and go home with them.
Yeah, we don't want you to be alone.
That is.
Yeah.
You want to ask them if they have any firearms in the house. 51% of all suicides in the U.S. are caused by firearms.
Wow.
And whether they're loaded, whether they are, whether they have a plan to use them or not, you want to get those firearms in a trusted family member or friend's hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same with alcohol.
That's pouring gasoline on the fire.
It's pouring gasoline on the fire. That's right.
Yeah.
And so you want to link them with organizations, with a counselor, with individuals that can help. And
now, if you don't know where that help is coming from, would that be where the National Suicide Prevention Hotline would help? Or there's organizations,
yes,
the American Association for Suicidology, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. One of our listeners sent one in, suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
That's right.
So, because some of our listeners, they might not even know where to go.
And
yeah.
If you're a veteran, you can present yourself to any of the VA hospitals.
Okay.
You can go to urgent care at any of the VA hospitals and they will get you.
And I'm guessing if you're not a veteran, you can go to urgent care at a regular hospital,
yes.
too.
Yes. Yep. And I want to say this, too, for your listeners who have experienced the loss of someone by suicide, it's not your fault. Generally speaking, people don't come out and tell people, hey, listen, I'm thinking about suicide.
Yeah.
You know, they're scared to talk about it because of the social stigma mm-hmm. and sometimes religious overtones.
Right.
They're tight-lipped.
Are there? We're out of time, so let me ask you one more question then. We have to have you come back,
Ralph. I'd say, or if you'd like, you can... this into our show.
No, we actually have to be someplace else to do this at a company. But Ralph, you don't have to come back. Time we can do this over the phone too. I think we ought to follow up on this. But you know, a subject we haven't touched on, you just brought up. Are there support groups for survivors?
Yes,
of people that they've loved for suicide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, most metropolitan areas have a support group, and that's it's important for survivors to have individual counseling with someone who gets it, with a psychologist or clinical social worker that understands the grief related to suicide, mm-hmm. and also the help of a group, individuals that have experienced death of suicide.
Excellent. Let's set up a time, Ralph, where we can, if not in person in the studio, have you on the phone and continue this subject, because I think we've just touched the tip of the iceberg today.
Sure, absolutely.
Ralph Plumlee from Delaware came all the way up, a grief counselor, one who is going to be helping people even today deal with this. And Mikayla Brito, thank you. Stay tuned for her program. Ask your veterans. Ask your veterans. I'm just having fun.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, ask your vegetarian is up next. And I'll be back next Monday and Tuesday. I didn't expect a lot of calls today on this subject. So we'll give a book away next Monday for that as well. Stay tuned for the news. Ralph Plumlee, thank you so much. Mikayla, thank you so much.
Thank you,
God bless you all. If this is something that you are dealing with, don't deal with it by yourself.
That's right.
If this is something that's in your family, you need help and support, you can call that suicide prevention hotline. You can look online. And if you've already had to deal with this tragedy, there's support available for you as well. God bless you all. Go to church this Sunday, okay? Take care. Bye-bye.